It's Watercolor with Lindy. I have been watching and enjoying a show, a British show that many of you may enjoy or have seen, called The Portrait Artist of the Year. They also have one called Landscape Artist of the Year. And it's a British competition where they invite amateur and professional artists to come to a location and paint together for about 4 hours. They paint either a person, like a famous person, or in the case of the landscapes, they go to a beautiful location, and it's a competition. So they can use any medium they want. Now, of course, watercolor is the least used medium because of its difficulty and because it's hard to correct and all that. And so few people know how to use watercolor correctly, although it's better known in England how to use watercolors because they take it more seriously there and understand the different properties and use the proper materials as well. Here you find a lot of people using poor materials such as watercolor paper that isn't cotton, and they buy it at the store and it says watercolor paper. Actually not very good paper for making beautiful watercolors. And the brushes aren't very good if you don't get a good one. And then they don't know how to pick paints for their different qualities. Anyway, back to this show that I've been telling people to watch. So I just taught a workshop on portraits, and I asked them to look at that show before they came. So what's the use of that show for a painter? Well, you can see all different kinds of approaches to painting. And everybody has their own method, some more successful than others, but it'll give you ideas. For example, some people use a grid. Some people use photographs. They go up and they photograph the person and they don't work directly from the model. And then others do several, like they do a bunch of different sketches and then they do their final. And then some just pick out a different aspect of the portrait, the model, such as the eye, and develop that. So many different ways of approaching it, and it's entertaining for a painter to watch it. It gives you many good ideas. Not that you would use them all, but it opens your mind to different approaches that you could use. So that's really fun. It's also very fun to, if you're an American, to watch how polite everybody is to one another. They're not as competitive in the same way as Americans are, so I enjoy that very much. And the final result is always interesting because the winner gets a commission for £10,000 or dollars or euros or something to do a final portrait for, you know, some famous person. And then they show how the artist goes and visits the subject and gets to know them and does a lot of different preparatory sketches and so on, and then it shows the final. Well, I do enjoy pretending that I'm one of those people. I really wouldn't mind being in that competition. It looks like a lot of fun. But I more empathize with the judges. There's three of them, and they discuss the different aspects. I've been a judge in many competitions, and so I really relate to what they're going through, because the two main things that they're struggling with are trying to get an overall sense of whether this artist is going somewhere, whether they have their own original voice or not, based on only a couple pieces of art. And that's hard to do. And secondly, they're torn between, do I want to choose the painting that has the best likeness, or do I want to choose the one that has the more original approach? And that's tough because sometimes the approach is very unique. And one more recently that I watched anyway was an approach I had never seen, a way of painting that way before with colored pencils. It was colored pens, I think. And it was very original. And they did manage to pick that one, even though the likeness wasn't really there. So it raises that question of the balance between painting accurately what you see versus developing a fresh eye or an original way of looking. So we struggle with that in all my classes too, because I am teaching the normal way, I guess you could call it, where you want to learn to see things more fully and more carefully so that you can reproduce them with your skills that you're learning. But also, even from the very beginning, there's a certain style that enters in, an original eye, and I have to keep getting that balance right so that it's sometimes hard for me to see when a painter is developing their work and I look at it and it looks, I'm not sure if I should encourage them to look more carefully and see what I see in the subject matter, or should I encourage them to develop their style? Because you've got to have both. Now, if you go too much towards style, I had one student that was just beautiful colors and everything, but she wasn't really looking at the subject. And so, you know, they were just playing with the pretty materials, having a good time. I often hear this comment in class, "I'm just playing around." Well, that's a good thing, and sometimes it's a good thing. But if you're just playing around and you're not really getting better at learning to see the world in an original way, then you're a little bit lazy, I think. And then the other extreme is you're so accurate and so rigid in being hyper-real that you don't let the style develop at the same time. So I like watching that show from the point of view of being a judge and also a contestant, which if somebody would pay my airfare, I'd love to go and try to get into that competition just for the experience. Now, it's only 4 hours, so some people can paint quickly and some people can't. And so that is a restriction that I would never put on anybody else. So you want to have endless time to work on a piece of art. But what happens when you're put under restrictions? And sometimes I'm put under restrictions because I have a commission and it has to be done by a certain date. And that is a killer. It usually ruins my ability to paint very well, and I get very, very tight and trying to be too accurate, and I let the art side go by the wayside a little bit, especially with portraits. So is competition good, and is time restraint good? To a degree. So if you have a short amount of time and you're trying to overcome some flaw that you have in your approach, then sometimes it helps you to quickly see, to overcome the thinking process and go straight to the artist's brain and paint what you see without judgment. So it's all a very delicate balance though. So if you're too lazy and sloppy, you know, you could have a big brown mess. And if you're too strict and confining, it's no fun, number one. But number two, your paintings are going to be very stiff and very rigid, and we're not really looking for a reproduction of a photograph. We are really trying to look really carefully and see what's there and bring out the essence of it. And this brings up a popular subject today, which is AI. And AI is coming, like it or not, and it's going to be already. It's making new versions of a Van Gogh painting that he never painted by scanning all of his original and asking AI to come up with a new one of New York City or whatever you want. And that is a confounding problem when you think about it. What's this doing to art? Well, I'm pretty convinced that it's going to be a tool for artists. It's going to help us. And I can't tell you every way that it's going to help us, but I'm pretty sure that in the right hands, AI is going to revolutionize the world of fine art and the world of handmade art, even though it's very, very good already at producing computer-generated art. All right, so that's it for today.